Community Pulse on Radio 786 100.4 FM. I am Khadija Ajam. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We are going into the second half of our On the Journey Baby Steps segment. Emphasize that the responsibility does rest with us, and that a long-term investment in our body, particularly in as far as what we consume is concerned. Now, yes, we know we live in a country that is poverty-stricken, and that oftentimes the choices are not necessarily ours, but as far as we can, to make the responsible choices and know that investing in our bodies long term, really it does pay off. And so when we speak about cancers, Dr. Fatima? Oh, okay.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Sorry, I thought we lost you there for a second. So when you spoke now about a particularly, say, for example, the vegetables, and you said now the cruciferous vegetables, those are particularly good, and then of course those that contain antioxidants. Now if we move along, so there's been a lot of talk around nuts, for example, you know, in terms of it being a healthy snack, but then we read other things that says no, but it's got a high fat content, but then we hear other things about the fact is that it has anti-inflammatory effects perhaps. Can you point us in the right direction? So are there healthy snacks like nuts that is recommended to, let's say, to reduce our chances or that would be a responsible choice in as far as, let's say, the risk of breast cancer or reducing the risk of breast cancer is concerned?
So I just want to point out that nuts are super healthy. As well, like we are actually often, you know, for the patients that we have that are malnourished, the pediatricians often try and the dietitians often prescribe like peanut butter to increase. I mean, it tastes good and it's obviously got this high peanut content, but that you can already see what the issue is with nuts is that the fat content, it has a high energy content and a high fat content. It has a lot of oil. That's where you get like your peanut oils and all of those things, coming from. So again, this is where moderation comes in. It's a very, very good snack to have. And the studies that were published that say that, nuts, decrease the risk of breast cancer specifically, they were talking about high consumption of those nuts, like peanuts, walnuts, almonds, particularly. It's not really conducive to other aspects of our health. So what we say is moderate consumption of nuts, then you're getting the antioxidant effects of those nuts, and obviously some of the health benefits of them, other health benefits. They're also high in fiber, etc. And then combine them with other foods that have it, blackberries specifically. All of those things are really actually good, and they tasty, they sweet, they super yummy. Papaya, some people swear by papaya, you know, that they it's really it's nice, it's sweet, you can make juice out of it. There's so much that that you can do with papaya, and it's also very, very healthy. It's very rich in antioxidants, has a significant anti-inflammatory effect. So it's also useful for other diseases, so your rheumatoid arthritis, arthritides, and you know, the joint, people who have lots of joint pains, people who have heart disease, etc. Papayas and those red vegetables, red fruits are really, really good.
So let's talk
And nowadays I think excuse me,
no I think your line cut there for a second. Please do carry on, doctor.
So one of the other things that has become quite fashionable now is kelp and turmeric. If you go to any juice bar, you'll often see that they have some green juice.
Yes.
Where it's an incorporation of spinaches and kelp and all sorts of green things in there. People add
turmeric to the root vegetable, the turmeric root, not like the powder that we use in our food and our cooking. But all of these things have an advantage that they're easy to eat. You can make them into juices, so they're not really complicated to, you know, chew and stuff like that. And they have significant anti-inflammatory effects. Of course, again, it's not going to substitute for your other meal, something that's tasty. It's not something that is like laborious to eat. You can actually enjoy it. So if we have the opportunity to eat healthy snacks, why not? That's the question.
Absolutely. No, I absolutely agree. Not as not in reaction or in response to something, but just as a good dietary habit, just in terms of incorporating that into one's daily eating regime, so that, again, you know, as you spoke earlier on, as you mentioned earlier on, just to increase one's optimal health. I think. Did we lose? Okay, so just as a reminder to you, we are speaking to Dr. Fatima Hussain. She is a specialist surgeon. She enjoys all aspects of general surgery. And you know what we always say here, that it's all about health. In breast and thyroid health. This includes surgery for breast, thyroid, and soft tissue tumors. Dr. Hussain is also a member of the Breast Interest Group of South Africa, the Association of Surgeons of South Africa, the Surgical Research Society of South Africa, and the South African Colorectal Society. So absolutely, we know we are in good hands with her. Doctor, you're back on the line with us?
I am not. Quite
patchy
here.
No problem. We wanted to move along and also speak about good sources of protein. Again, we are constantly bombarded, and one realizes, you know, the internet is a good place to go and look, but sometimes for us lay people, it also gets very, very confusing. So yes, one knows that a good source of protein is meat, but then one hears about cholesterol issues and those types of things. So when it comes to protein, what would be the better, let's say, the better products to consume, and of course relating that to cancers?
So again, you want to cut down on you actually are already on the ball, cut down on the cholesterol intake. You want the taste, but you don't miss and the proteins and the advantages of all of those, but you don't really want the negative effects in it. And then the red meat like beef and lamb or mutton does have higher levels of cholesterol. So if you like a nice steak, you like lamb, if you like mutton, change that to lamb, and preferably lamb with low fat content. And then, of course, if you are willing to change it up a little bit and try new things, then try substituting all of these red meats for chicken, for poultry, and of course, increase your diet, increase the fish intake. We live in the Western Cape. We live in Cape Town. We have really got access to good fish, and I think thankfully a lot of us. We do already eat quite a bit of fish, and fish is even healthier than poultry. It actually is very good for it's got a lot of omega fatty acids, which have an antioxidant effect. It's very good for the brain, decreasing your risk of decreasing the risk of dementia and that sort of thing. But it's also really good for your body and the it has an anti-inflammatory effect. So yes, we can use alternatives. And if it's really difficult to stop you eating your beef or whatever, you can obviously do that, but make that the the once a week as the reward food. I don't know.
yes.
Your cheat day.
Yeah, when you feel like, you know what, I want to spoil and indulge myself.
There you go. Look, when we talk about seafood also, we must just be careful. I know we like, there are rich seafoods that are also not completely healthy, and those are like your prawns and your crayfish. They're very good, but they taste really good, but again, they're not super healthy either. So the types of fish that we're talking about is the salmons, hake, that sort of the yeah. ones that are rich in omega.
Yeah.
So just be wary of what you are consuming. Make sure there's a, unfortunately, the ones that are really good for you are tend to be the ones that are a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
But again, it's you are investing in your own body.
Yeah.
So
no, and I'm thinking, and this is just in a little bit of research that we did, that poultures are also a very, very good source. And one thing's about the tinned ones, the canned ones that one gets, and one can make a pot of food with that and feed a family. And those are delicious.
Absolutely. So it doesn't have tuna as well.
Yeah.
You can do so much. You can make like an entire salad with
exactly,
tuna.
Exactly. It is. I absolutely agree, doctor. Doctor, now another. I mean, this is another component that we cannot neglect. And you are. I mean, this is one of your areas of expertise. You are. You belong to the South African Colorectal Society. So now we want to talk about fiber. And so yes, we often think about fiber when it comes to, of course, our gastrointestinal tract. But apparently, and this is in the bit of research that we've done, that the study has been done. This is by the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. That showed that fiber does play a role in decreasing the chances of breast cancer. So perhaps if you can explain to us, maybe give us some good sources of fiber, and also explain to us how does food that contain high amounts of fiber act in our bodies to reduce chances of a breast cancer diagnosis.
So I'm going to start with the last bit of your question, and that is it increases the fiber, makes your stool, I know people don't really want to hear about this, but it makes your stool a little bit heavier, and it pulls fluid, by pulling fluid in from your outside of your intestinal tract back into the intestinal tract. So not only that, and that process, that heaviness actually increases the rate at which you would pass have a diet, and that's actually how it works. Mm. It becomes heavier, and heavy things, gravity, we all know, it passes faster through your intestinal tract, and you pass it go to the toilet a little bit more frequently.
Yes.
Now, what that also has the advantage of is decreasing the intestinal reabsorption. The longer your food, because that's essentially what it is, the food stays inside your intestinal tract, the longer your intestines have to reabsorb nutrients and what the components that are within the food. And one of those, I mean, some of them are good, but others of them are not good. So the intestinal reabsorption of estrogen for people who are chronically constipated is higher than for people who go to the toilet a little bit more frequently. Again, I'm not saying go to get diarrhea.
But be aware.
That's on the other side of the spectrum.
Mm.
You're saying if you have a high fiber diet, you're more likely to go to the toilet more regularly.
Mm.
And that will decrease the intestinal reabsorption of the estrogen, decreasing its circulating levels, and decreasing your risk of developing breast cancer. Because estrogen, we know, is one of the things that the higher exposure to estrogen, the higher your risk of breast cancer. So then it cannot be truly digested. So it's a nice way to lose weight to a certain degree. Food passes faster through it, so less reabsorption of all the other bad things, and carbohydrates and all the other things that cause you to gain weight. So again, you're losing weight. There are other complications of constipation, and that is things, diseases like diverticulosis colon cancers and things like that, which then decreases if you have a higher fiber intake.
Yes, of course.
So what is the disadvantage of having higher fiber? And fiber doesn't necessarily have to come in the form of, you know, some people hear the word Weet-Bix and they want to, they're really upset. But it's not just like that. It's about eating, again, your veggies. But and the veggies doesn't have necessarily have to be bad vegetables, you know, the vegetables that you don't necessarily like. You can eat things that you enjoy. Papaya, yeah. Mangoes. Mangoes are good with high, they have a high fiber content. So those are things that you can, they're really sweet, they're super delicious, and they have a high fiber content.
Doctor, I can't believe that we've so quickly run out of time. There's many other factors at play, for example, aging, menopause, family genetic history, etc. But the reality is that a healthy diet that consists of foods rich in vitamins, minerals, and what you mentioned now can assist in at least lowering the risk of developing breast cancer. So perhaps just your in the final 2 minutes that we have, just your closing comments around that.
I say, long-term investment pays off, and we put we are very good at putting money away for our retirement. Just remember that you won't be able to enjoy that money unless you are investing in your health as well. So it is worth it to take these measures, even if you don't have a significantly high risk of developing cancer. It does have also multiple advantages in other aspects of your life, other health advantages outside of breast cancer prevention, heart disease, bone, arthritis, all of those things. Improve your diet, it improves your long-term health, and you can then enjoy your finances at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Shukran so much, Dr. Fatima Hussain, for joining us this morning. I'm hoping that at some point we can continue this conversation where we can also focus a little bit more on breast cancer and perhaps these other factors that one would say, you know, that one.
Shukran so much.
That was Dr. Fatima Hussain. She is a specialist surgeon, and she spoke to us about diet and breast cancer. Now, we do realize and we want to emphasize that living a healthy lifestyle is absolutely imperative, and particularly when it comes to breast cancer, which we know is a prevalent disease amongst women. So do consider some of the above tips. Do consider arming yourself with knowledge and just know that you are likely to reduce your risk of developing disease, and if you have suffered the disease, to reduce the risk of recurrence. But that is how we need to wrap up on the journey. Baby steps today. Up next is the 10 o'clock news. Do stay tuned to Community Pulse on 100.4 FM.
Think of a 30-second radio commercial as a trailer to your movie about your business. With radio advertising, we work passionately in keeping your brand.